Alan Kohler here, and I'm talking to Brett Tucker, who, along with a few associates, has launched a business called Access Investing. And the idea is that they will invest in pre-IPO companies, that is to say companies that are planning to float, and they would invest in them before they float, and they would distribute the shares in them to their investors after they float, so that you would get whatever they invest in, you would end up as a shareholder in that company that's now listed, but you've bought the shares or got the shares at a price that's pre-IPO, which is typically, he says, an average of 25% below the IPO price. So look, it's an interesting idea. It's probably worth listening to Brett and having him explain it. So here he is, Brett Tucker of Access Investing. Brett, tell us about how Access Investing works. You're a pooled fund, basically, aren't you, with where you you distribute the shares that you buy to your shareholders later on.
Yeah, that's right. So we have some similarities with a managed fund and some differences. The first two steps in our process, I suppose, are similar to a managed fund. We pull funds from the public for the purpose of investing, and then we'll, over the course of however long it takes, but hopefully less than 12 months, we'll apply those funds to pre-IPO opportunities. And then our point of difference here is that once we've made those investments, as each company in our portfolio reaches IPO stage, we'll distribute those investments or those shares back down to our retail shareholder base, which gives them control over trading decisions on a company by company basis, which is different to a managed fund, which, as you know, holds a portfolio and continues to manage that on behalf of the base, and you really can't make decisions. It's a really only overall portfolio basis. I guess our rationale or our goal is to really give people control over the investments at the end of the day, so they can buy, sell, hold, as the case may be, as they decide. And it really is marketed for those retail investors who otherwise couldn't get access to pre-IPO opportunities.
So you're really just a temporary, you'd expect to be a temporary holder of shares in companies before they IPO, right? How long would you regard, or would you think the typical period would be, holding period would be, before you distribute the shares?
Yeah, that's right. And we sort of view ourselves as an enabler and sort of recycling capital that people give us. So people will apply for, give us cash, and they get shares in us, but then we use that and we'll return them shares. So really a recycling of cash to shares. But I guess the typical period that we're targeting, the typical return period, is about 3 to 18 months. So we're targeting companies that are in advanced preparations for listing, so call it 3 months from IPO, and then even companies as far as 12 to 18 months from IPO.
So if someone invests, this is for retail investors, presumably, so it could be a small amount of investing, like $5,000 or $10,000, right?
Yeah, that's right. We have a minimum of $5,000.
Well, so if someone invests $5,000 and what you invest in, what, half a dozen IPOs or pre-IPO companies, I suppose in the end, you'd end up with quite a small number of shares in each of them, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll assess the number of IPO opportunities we take on based on the average investment size and how much we raise in total. But we're definitely mindful of that. We don't want to spread people's capital too thin. And in an ideal scenario, we'll return spread parcels, so $2,000 by value, which will assist the companies that we invest in fulfilling that the ASX spread requirement. So, yeah, we're definitely mindful of not spreading people's capital too thin when selecting the portfolio.
And how will you go about choosing the investments that you put the money into?
We're looking for obviously a good return from private to public, but we're also looking for companies that will continue to perform well in the long term. It'll be an incentive for our holders not to sell sort of day one and potentially create a bit of an overhang in the stock. But, you know, we want to invest in quality companies that, you know, will have a good uplift at IPO, but then generate returns afterwards. And
would the shares in the company that you've invested in be distributed to your investors before the IPO, be actually before they start trading on day one, so that they could sell on day one if they wanted?
That's right. Obviously subject to any escrow. But that's the goal, and that's how it's going to work. So day one, they can, to the extent there's no escrow, they can make a trading decision.
And have you done some research in what the average uplift between pre-IPO and IPO?
Yeah, so there's obviously a bit of a range out there, but you typically see sort of a 20 to 50% discount to the pre-IPO, which equates to, you know, 25% return to 100% return.
Just take me through that again. What do you mean a 20% discount to what?
20% discount to the IPO price. So you'll generally see sort of that quoted from companies when they're raising money. They sort of talk relative to the IPO price. So in the case of a 20 cent IPO, a 20% discount to IPO, you know, you're looking at a 16 cent offer, which is in the hands of the pre-IPO investor is a 25% uplift. So I guess if we're talking pre-IPO returns, you generally see sort of a 25%, even 100% uplift for pre-IPO investments.
Right. So the thing is that a pre-IPO investment is a known thing, right? It's companies often go to venture capitalists or private investors for pre-IPO, which is like 3 to 6 months before their proposed IPO, and they know that they're going to IPO, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they're raising a little bit of capital, either to fund the listing costs or to try to build the valuation in a short amount of time before listing, development capital. But yeah, it can be as short as 3 months. It can be sort of as long as 12 months. And that's sort of what we refer to as the last private offer or the pre-IPO. But in our case, we're targeting investments in companies probably one step before that. If they need some capital for development, if they probably will do a pre-IPO after our round at a higher valuation, you know, we're happy to look at that. And that's a bit of a niche or a bit of a funding gap in the market as well that hopefully we'll meet. So there are a lot of obviously brokers and high net wealth individuals that will get on board if they see like a short-term IPO for sort of 3 to 6 months, because it's generally quite it's not that risky at that point. But we're willing to go back, you know, one step further and look for those companies, yeah, targeting 12 to 18 month listing. But hopefully with that comes a significant sort of uplift for us.
Right. So you're not only going to invest in companies that are explicitly pre-IPO.
Exactly, yeah. We call it sort of late seed or series A capital.
Right. And how would you identify these?
We've got
all of them, pre-IPO and series A, B or whatever it is.
Yeah, so we've got the board and investment committee between us. There's a combined 150 years of industry experience, and we've got our own sort of networks of advisors and brokers and the like. So that'll be our focus once we've completed the capital raising to invest people's funds in quality pre-IPO investments that will have a good uplift.
So you've got a prospectus out now. How much are you looking to raise?
Between 3 and 10 million.
Okay. And what if it takes a while to find investments for that? What happens to the money in the meantime?
As soon as the minimum is reached, then we can close, but we can extend the offer as long as we need, really. But I think the market's obviously pretty good at the moment, and we're confident of hitting the minimum, you know, in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then once it's closed, we actually like a closed fund, so we won't be taking subscriptions again. We've got our capital, and we'll get on with the job.
And are you going to float yourselves?
No. So there's no benefit to us. We're just, yeah, like I said, sort of a market enabler, and we just want to recycle people's capital in the form of shares that they wouldn't otherwise have access to, and providing the experience of our board in selecting opportunities on their behalf as well.
So, and how much do you charge?
We take a fee of 7.5% by number of the shares that we invest in, and it's really a success fee. So we retain that after we've distributed the shares back down to our retail base. So if they don't get the shares back, we don't make any fees.
Right. So okay. So each time you distribute, you'll keep in the company, in your company that you own, 7.5% of the shares.
That's right. Yep.
Right. And so do you see this as an ongoing thing? I mean, so once you've raised, I don't know, 10 million now, you get the maximum you want, you invest that over the next, say, 6 months in I don't know, what, half a dozen pre-IPOs. As they IPO over the next year or two, and you distribute those shares, what happens? Do you just close down again, or do you do another prospectus?
Yeah, we've finished our goal. We've returned people's capital. That'll really be effectively the end of our company. I guess if the model's proven successful and there's good demand in the subscription, and we've generated a return for people, then maybe we can do it again. But our focus will be just on generating a return for our current shareholders and really just providing new retail investors with access to investments they otherwise wouldn't have gotten. And then like I said, we can consider doing it again, but it'll really just be the focus for Access Investing. I will say, just on the fees, that we are comparable with a lot of other wholesale trusts out there that focus on pre-IPOs. Once you take into account their performance fees and their management fees, if they're generating 20%, 30%, 40% per annum, then we're sort of quite like for like in that regard.
So take me through the scenario. Say you do raise $10 million and you invest it all in pre-IPOs, and the average uplift of 25% applies, then that 10 million is turned into 12.5 million, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And you'll keep just under $1 million of that?
Yes.
Right. So that's the plan. And then you'll go away and do something else. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I mean, then the people that invested in us have, shares that were secured at pre-IPO prices that are now trading in ASX, and we've done our job in that regard, and maybe we'll go off and do it again, but the focus will just be on Access Investing in the meantime.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Well, thanks for talking to us, Brett.
Not a problem, Al.
So people can go to your website, I guess, if they're interested, accessinvesting.com.au, and apply. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, the prospectus offer is now live, and we have an indicative close of 30 July stage.
Well, good luck, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Alan.
That was Brett Tucker, the Managing Director of Access Investing.